Tom said, "Oh, buy me Starbucks if I record a podcast." Oh, here we are, recording a podcast. Bye, 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 bye.
Wow, everyone. Welcome back to The Bear and the Swan. Oh, come on. I'm going to use it.
Tell me when we're starting.
We're starting now.
Okay.
We started.
No.
3 minutes ago. Edit this so you don't get to choose. Anyway, welcome back, everyone.
Hi.
Can you believe it?
I can hardly believe it myself.
It took a pandemic and a quarantine for us to get back on this couch. Mic's on.
Can I defend myself? It's not like every day you're like, Aaron, will you please record a podcast? And I'm like, no, I will not.
Oh my gosh, you just peaked the mic. No, that is true. That is true. We don't have to spend too much time talking about our hiatus, but for the last, I don't know how long it's been, first of all, since we put out a podcast. Second of all, I probably haven't asked you before this week in 6 months.
But what's funny is we haven't recorded a podcast in so long, but if you recall in our last podcast, every time we start a podcast, Buckets comes and tries to play with us, and he remembered because he's doing it again.
Yeah, I think it's because all of a sudden we become very engaged in like
energetic
conversation and energetic, and he always feeds off of our energy.
When the mics are off, we don't speak to one another.
True, true. This is all just a show.
Our whole marriage is a sham.
So that the like 1,000 people who are maybe going to listen to this if we're lucky, you know, anyway. Welcome back, everyone, to The Bear and the Swan.
Do you have like stuff for us to talk about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready. Cool. I prepare.
I'm not as per usual.
Yeah.
But John told me if I record every time I record a podcast, he'll buy me Starbucks. So
true.
We will be recording every day from here on out.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about how to have a successful marriage. It's through bribery, first and foremost. And that's my only point. So thanks for listening. No. So I'm here. I want to make a rule for us.
What?
I love rules.
Yeah, we know.
I think for the rest of this podcast, because here's what we always do. We always say, we're going to start back up again, or we're going to do this. We're making a commitment every week. No commitments. This is just an episode. This might be the last one ever. It might be the last one for a week, 2 months. I don't know.
I don't know. But it sounds like the world's shutting down. So it might be just us and Buckets in this apartment. So
yeah. So maybe this is our only way into the outside world. Speaking of which, obviously I want to talk about coronavirus, COVID-19.
Ah, the Rona,
as we've come to call it in our household. It's taken over the world.
Yes.
What is happening? What is going on?
And if you didn't know, we are doctors, so we will be talking. You know, we are part of the CDC,
yes,
so we will be
president of the CDC here, speaking to you. No, not at all. What I actually wanted to do, as per usual, is I just kind of wanted to share a little bit of, first of all, like our journey through this,
mm-hmm.
like kind of where we were when we sort of first heard about it all the way until these past couple days and everything shutting down. And then also just share some of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions surrounding it. And hopefully, in a time of isolation where perhaps you listening are feeling like you can't get out of your living room, maybe this will transplant you here into our living room. Not sure that's a place you always want to be, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Welcome.
So
it's cozy.
I want to rewind to maybe like 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
which now feels about 4 months ago,
mm-hmm.
but we were in South Carolina.
Also, like, let's rewind to Happy New Year, 2020. Our lives have been a whirlwind since then.
Oh, for sure.
And we'll probably go into more of that if we record future episodes, but we've had like the worst year ever. And I know everybody's had a really bad 2020, but for just a lot of like personal stuff, we've had a really, really rough 2020. So some stuff happened in the first week of January. Some stuff happened in the first week of February, not to be super cryptic, but we kept joking, oh, first week of March, like watch out, what's going to happen.
And then
Rona happened.
Sure enough, we head down to South Carolina.
Yeah, we were looking forward to this trip. We were going with two other couples that are, you know, good friends of ours. And we were like, it's going to be so nice to get away. We decided we were going to drive down with buckets. So we were actually going to be able to go a little bit early and have like a full week at the beach and just relax and like check out and recover and, you know, from the craziness that has been our year.
And we were able to do that.
We were,
successfully. Mm-hmm. But the first couple of days we were down there, our friends were still back in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they were like calling us.
Like on the ride down, my good friend Becky, hi Bex, if you're listening, called and she's like, okay, I'm stocking up because of Corona. Like, do you need anything? And I was like, we're fine.
Yeah. We both kind of like rolled our eyes like, come on. Oh, Buckets is about to knock over his bowl.
Oh,
get
no.
ready for it. There it is. Nice, buddy.
He just wants to be involved.
Oh my gosh. But we both kind of rolled our eyes at it. We had legitimate conversations where we're like, I think everyone's kind of just blowing this thing
like,
out of proportion.
I don't get like swept up and stuff like that, which is surprising because I'm a 6 on the Enneagram. So you would think that like that would really affect me, but I don't know. I just don't get swept up in it.
Yeah, but it makes perfect sense because so many of the, a week ago, 10 days ago, for the average everyday person, Corona was in a different category.
Yeah.
It was in the same category as like the swine flu of 2009 or any of those others that were serious.
But we didn't really feel the effects of
it. We didn't really feel the effects. It was a cultural thing that really didn't affect the quality of life of the normal average everyday person who did not contract the virus.
Yeah.
This is brand new because people who have not contracted it, their lives have been drastically changed.
Yeah.
And so we, and you know, everyone keeps saying it, we've never been here before. We've never really seen something like this before. So of course, you know, 10 days ago, we were categorizing it with our natural human tendency to do this. We were putting it in a category that we already had, even though it is something that we needed to create an entirely new category for. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're there, we're in South Carolina, we're hearing this news, we're sort of rolling our eyes at it.
Yeah.
And really we got through that entire, like we went to Charleston, we went to Savannah, like we lived normally.
Yeah. We were on vacation
all of a couple weeks ago. And then we get back and I don't know, talk to me about when it started to drop in for you of, whoa, this is different. This is a new category.
Well, I think on the way home, we were driving home with our friend Becky again, who had like a conference in San Francisco that got canceled. And some of our other friends on the trip, like were supposed to be traveling for work and everything started to get canceled. And I'm like, wow, this is like pretty serious. Like this company is losing a lot of money canceling this stuff or, you know, like travel bans on companies. Like that's pretty intense. And then I don't know. I can't remember. We got home.
I think we got home Tuesday evening. Then Wednesday happened, and Wednesday was a decently somewhat normal day. You heard about, you know, some conferences, really big things getting, you heard about, you know,
like sports, South by Southwest
sports and playing games without fans or with limited fans and things like that. But for me, when it really dropped in, I remember was on Thursday or was it Wednesday evening? One of those two evenings when the news about Rudy Gobert, the Utah Jazz, the NBA team, their center, contracted coronavirus. And within like 2 hours, it was like, Rudy Gobert has corona. The Jazz have canceled their game. All NBA games are canceled. The NBA season is postponed.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I felt like that set off a sort of chain reaction of all these sports being postponed, and then my feed starts blowing up with all of these churches that are saying, hey, we're no longer gathering.
Yeah, because I feel like our church sent an email like maybe on Tuesday being like, we're still planning on having service.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday,
it was Wednesday evening that this happened.
Well, because I think Wednesday during the day, my sister, who's a school teacher, their school was canceled
that
for
was
three
Thursday.
Weeks. Was that Thursday?
Yes.
I thought that was before the NBA. But anyways, I was like, what? Emma has 3 weeks yeah. off of school? Like, this is insane. And they were a little bit ahead of the curve, I think, in canceling because I think somebody, like, that had been at the school had been in contact with somebody that had corona. So, like, they were kind of ahead of the curve on
yeah.
canceling. But then, like, very shortly after.
Well, it went from people are canceling as a reaction to someone in our community or in our organization has contracted it, and so now we're going to cancel because of it. It was a reaction rather than now people, like, it transitioned, and then all of a sudden people were preemptively canceling things.
Yeah.
It was, no, we're just going to cancel straight up. And then obviously state governments start stepping in, putting in, you know, no more than 250 people. Then it becomes no more than 50 people. And for
well, 100, then 50, now it's like 10.
Right. And so it keeps getting shut down. So then last weekend, I had a speaking engagement.
I was so shocked. I kept waiting for the speaking engagement be canceled. And like, I wasn't excited about it because we're independent contractors. So like we rely on those gigs for our income, but I was like, oh, certainly it's going to be canceled.
Right. And sure enough, it wasn't. And it was in Iowa. And Iowa, what I learned, was a little bit behind the rest of the states in terms of on Friday, for example, they hadn't had community outbreaks reported yet, things like that. And so I went to this conference. I spoke at a church on Sunday, all of these things. And then I got home. And it's just slowly but surely the reality of what this thing is and what it means is setting in. And now here we are, you know, on the brink of potentially, you know, shelter in place type stuff going on. And some states already have are like implementing curfews. And not to mention internationally, you have entire countries that are basically totally on lockdown right
now. Yeah, we're mostly speaking from the U.S. perspective. But
So I guess with that then, I kind of want to share, or I hope we can kind of share a little bit of our like emotional journey through this in terms of like what's been your main emotion as you walk through this?
I think right now it's shock. It's just like, oh my gosh, we've never seen this happen before. And I mean, we're relatively young. I'm only 27, but I keep asking like my mom or older people, like, have you ever seen anything like this? And everyone says no, like this is totally unprecedented. So that's my biggest thing. Just like hearing this close, hearing this canceled. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Like if the Olympics gets canceled, I'm going to be so sad. But so that I think, cause we're still relatively new in it, I'm still just a bit shocked. But I think the only fear I have, I personally don't fear getting the virus. Like if I get it, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not scared for my own health. And obviously I'm scared for those who are, you know, have underlying health conditions or who are older. And that's scary, but I try not to let myself go there because that could happen with anything. They could get cancer. They could get, you and I could get hit by a bus when we walk outside Regina George style. But so
I try not to let
my brain go there. But I think the only fear that I have is really just like financially, not only for us, but just for other people that we know and love and our families and losing jobs. And we don't necessarily have jobs you can lose because we work for ourselves, but we can't have gigs be canceled. We can't have contracts be postponed. Yeah. And that does affect us. And people that we know that are in worse situations than we are that live paycheck to paycheck, that if they lose their job, they're in serious trouble. So that I think scares me more than like the virus getting somebody and killing them.
Right.
If that makes sense. I hope that doesn't sound insensitive.
No, it's the more of the shock waves, you know, that we are feeling rather than the pain of the actual virus.
And that might change. I mean, and we might get corona tomorrow and then, okay, our lives are looking different and we have to deal with that. And that sucks.
And both of those things are real fears and real anxieties, I think, that all people have. I think for me, and I haven't really talked about this much other than with you, one thing that I really struggled with last weekend after it was over was a sense of guilt that as much as I love the opportunity that I got to go and teach at that conference, and I tried to be as safe as possible while I was there and tried all the best practices, you know, as much as I loved being able to gather with that church, there was a piece of me that was thinking, even before I went, should I call? Is the wise thing to do to call and say, I'm not going to be there? Mm-hmm. Not because I'm afraid, but because as we've seen so many people putting on social media and talking about, it's not necessarily about you protecting yourself. It's about accepting the social responsibility to protect other people by staying home.
Yeah.
And I did not stay home last weekend. And I think part of that, there's, you know, as I said before, Iowa was far behind everyone else. It wasn't necessarily, you know, all of those things.
Well, we live in a big city. So
I didn't do anything necessarily that was against what the government or the CDC was telling us to do at the time specifically. But I think we have a greater responsibility to one another at all times, but especially during a time like this, to really look out for one another. And I have a legitimate sense of a little bit of guilt that maybe I didn't do that because I was afraid of losing a gig, or I was afraid of losing an opportunity.
Hard. Like, I was talking to John about, like, we had a little baby sprinkle on Sunday, and it was like, it's just a hard position because you don't want to disappoint people and say, oh, we're not coming, but you're also trying to be socially responsible and self-quarantine or social distance. And I think we all just need to, like, and I think most everybody's there at this point, but if you're still out there and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't apply to me, like, I'm going to the bars, like, the amount of people I saw out going to bars for St. Patrick's Day, like, I get it, it sucks to cancel that, like, it's not fun, but don't be an a-hole, stay home. Mm-hmm. Like, it's time for you to do your part, and you might not get sick, but you could be spreading it to somebody who is going to get sick and is going to die.
Yeah.
And I think there's still some people that are not feeling the weight of that responsibility. And I think it's time to, like, suck it up. And I think over the weekend, like, I guess I give everybody a little leeway because we still weren't sure. Like, we weren't at the point where the government was like, you should not be in a room with more than 10 people. Yeah. And so, like, you know, there were gatherings that were still happening.
It is so fast developing.
Yeah. And so I think there's no need to feel guilty about it. I just think moving forward, it's like, okay, we're going to do everything we can.
Yeah. And I think at my healthiest, that's what I'm trying to remind myself of like, I went last weekend. Hopefully I said something that moved someone forward in their relationship with God. And that's a good thing that happened. It might not have been the wisest thing or most upright thing for me to do. That's something I'm going to have to live with. But moving forward now, I can try and be a little bit more brave or a little bit more cautious.
Yeah. But it's just hard though, because like, while it might've been irresponsible, like you're saying, like you provide for your family and that's work.
Yeah.
So that's hard. It's just like, okay, that's giving up a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That is your income. It's not just extra money. Right. It's not just something you want to go do. You know, that's why I feel like I have a little more grace for you in that than like, you weren't going out to the bars on Saturday. Right. You were going to work.
Yeah. Well, and it's not right or wrong.
No.
I think it's us individually trying to exercise wisdom. And as a Jeannie and Jenny were talking about last night, our pastor and some people from our church, they were doing a little bit of a live stream last night, and they were talking about, you know, really running away from this temptation to compare the way that you are quarantining or the way that you are going about this with someone else. You know, I think each and every one of us has to individually try and exercise wisdom for ourselves and for others, not just looking out for our own good, but what does it look like for me specifically to look out for the good of those around me and in my community? Awesome. So I want to stay in a similar category, but I want to shift a little bit to, and you kind of were getting there with, you know, people still going out for St. Patrick's Day, whatever. What's getting under your skin? What's annoying you about this?
Well, just like a bunch of idiots doing keg stands on Instagram. I'm like, you guys are all like drinking out of a keg. This is like the worst case scenario.
This is everything they tell you not to do.
Idiots. So that's getting under my skin.
I have a little one while you think.
Okay.
So just a little rant moment for me that has been frustrating me is specifically online and on social media, businesses and influencers still posting their brand collaborations.
Yeah, but baby, during this,
I understand it. I understand it. But I think that can we do it in a way that doesn't seem completely blind and deaf to the cultural moment we are living in?
I saw one of my favorite influencers say basically like, please bear with me. Like
this is how I provide for my family. And their situation too is like, it's the husband and wife both work on her blog. And so it is like the way that their family provides. And she's like, these are brand deals that we've had planned for months. And
yeah, and
this is my paycheck basically. And I was like, I get that. Like, good for you. I want to totally support fine. You in that.
But then please inform me of it first.
Yeah. I mean, she put it on her story, but, and then her feed was on the post. So maybe they did, but
yeah. And maybe,
I also
maybe
feel like
they
I
did.
Follow influencers. Like I've sort of whittled down who I follow, and I follow people that are like, listen, this is weird, but like I have to post it. And I'm like, cool, cool.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. And so I guess what I'm saying is like, at least just acknowledge it, you know, or even like companies that are still, I still am getting like, these marketing emails from like a specific person at Liberty Mutual.
How about every single company you've ever subscribed to an email list emailing you about how their company takes COVID-19 seriously?
Seriously.
I have so many emails.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But that's just one thing that I'm like, can we at least be a little bit culturally aware and sensitive to the moment we're in? And perhaps I was not being sensitive to the moment that they are in. This is why we talk about those things.
Okay, here's mine. And you're going to disagree with this 100%. I am so sick of everybody online being like, okay, how do I word this? Like, everybody just take a chill pill. You can watch a movie in the middle of the day if you're not working right now. You don't have to be bettering yourself at every moment. You don't have to
sure.
be working out. You don't have to be listening to
Why
a worship song.
This?
You don't have to be reading your Bible every second. I feel like there are so many people online that are like, here's what you can do to be productive during quarantine. And I'm like, how about you watch Harry Potter? That's okay.
Totally.
Like life is weird right now. Everybody needs to take a break. Yeah. Like it's okay to numb out.
Yeah. I think, I feel like you're trying to call me out here because
I'm feel like you're a more productive person than
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, again, it goes back to the thing we were talking about before, using wisdom, looking within and saying, what are the needs that I have right now to walk through this very unique season? You know, because while you can sit and you can watch, you know, two Harry Potter movies straight.
Yeah, it's a skill. I could watch all of them straight.
Yeah, come on. And feel great and actually feel, I believe this, feel rejuvenated and alive through that. I need to do different things. You know, we all need to do different things. What I get from what you're saying is allowing people to do those relaxing or those fun activities. That's just as much a part of taking care of yourself as working out or reading your Bible or whatever it might be.
I just feel like people are taking the hustle of their normal lives and like bringing it into quarantine.
Ooh, that's good.
And I'm like, okay, like this is actually a perfect opportunity for you to not hustle through your day, to not mm-hmm. hustle through your 27-point schedule you've made for your family.
Yeah.
Like, and that's okay if you want to do that, but like, I don't know. I just think, why wouldn't you take this opportunity to eliminate the hustle at all?
Yeah. Well, and that's what it's doing. It's exposing things within us, you know, it's because I had that experience. I had that thought yesterday when I was on a run, when this quarantine thing happened, there was a bit of a relief that I felt of like, well, yeah, my speaking gigs are canceled for the next couple months, but like, well, I get to be home and I can just relax and wow, that'll be so nice. I really have been wanting to relax. And then what did we do all day yesterday?
Yeah, we literally
worked
from
the entire day.
The minute we woke up.
And it wasn't stuff that I already had. It was new stuff that had come in as a result of this COVID-19 quarantine. Like, oh, this isn't an issue with my schedule. This is an issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw anything, any sort of limiting factor at me, and I'll find a way to be busy because I'm addicted to being busy.
Yeah.
That's what's actually being exposed
Ruh-roh.
Here. Come on now.
And I'm addicted to Harry Potter.
Hey-o. So good, so good, so good. All right.
I have one for you that you haven't said yet.
Oh, talk to me.
John has been saying this to me, but I think, and you can cut this out if you don't want to say it.
Please.
I'm
a little nervous now.
Basically, like, John has been advocating for digital ministry for almost 10 years.
I ain't cutting none of this out.
And now all of a sudden church is like, we had to be online? Like, how do we do this? And John's like, well, I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to encourage churches, you know, like, get online. Like, that's where the people are. Meet them where they're at. And now they're like, we have to meet people where they're at. They're online. And you're like, they've been there.
I'm like, they were already there.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, yeah, sure. They show up to your building for 90 minutes on a Sunday, but guess where they are? 7 hours a day. Yeah. They are on their phone. What, like, to me, for if the church is really engaging in the culture that it is trying to serve, not that much should have had to change because we can't meet physically.
Yeah, you just can't meet for that hour on Sunday morning.
You just can't meet for that hour on Sunday. But everything else you are doing to communicate with your people throughout the week, in my opinion, you should have already been trying to do some of these things. Now, obviously, there's grace, da-da-da-da-da, all of that.
Yeah, where are we?
Churches can't do everything. No church is perfect.
We're being judgy right now.
No, not being judgy necessarily. But again, I think it's exposing. It's just that when we walk through something like this, it exposes holes in ourselves, mm-hmm. in our workplaces, in our relationships. And what we have the opportunity to do is to notice those.
For example,
and to try
the
and respond.
Holes it's showing in the Jorgensen household is we never cook at home.
Yes.
And now we're forced to.
And we don't know what to do with ourselves. Absolutely. All right. So as we sort of move towards wrapping up this conversation, I want to move towards a more hopeful note, perhaps, and share some stories of, like, hope or goodness, you know, like, the world is still good. What have you seen? Whether it's, like, just a post you saw online or, like, a story or a thing people are doing or whatever it is. Like that, I think you showed it to me, the workout class on the balconies in, like, Spain or Italy or something. This guy, like, I'm sure a lot of you have seen it, this personal trainer, they lived in this apartment building that had, like, a roof deck sort of, like, in the center, but the roof was, like, lower than most of the other floors, and he went out in the middle of it and led a workout class, and people were just working out on their balconies and in their windows, and there's 50 people all doing it together.
That was cool.
But all quarantined.
Yesterday, we went to the grocery store, and it was actually a really great experience. Like, everyone was nice. There was no toilet paper, but...
No, definitely not. I'm wiping with napkins.
John, right? That's disgusting and also not true. I was at the butcher, and this guy, like, got probably 20 things of meat. Like, he was clearly stocking up. And after he was done, he was like, hey, man, thanks. And, like, slipped the butcher, like, some money. Mm-hmm. And I just loved that. I was just like, you know that he's, you know, going through it right now. Like, he has to work. He has to be here. His whole family's probably home. And he's probably dealt with some crazy people, some rude people. So I just thought that was really cool.
A writer and that I follow named Shay Serrano he works for The Ringer. And I told you about this yesterday. He did this thing he sent out a tweet that was like, F coronavirus. It is, you know, stealing people's jobs, especially people who live paycheck to paycheck. Me and my family did that for, you know, a long, long time. Here's what I want you to do. Send me your Cash App name. I'm going to send out $250 a time to people until I hit $5,000. And, like, Shay's a successful writer. Like, he's doing well, but it's like he's not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, $5,000 is a legitimate amount of money, but he's like, I'm stepping up. I'm going to try and help people who are where I was in a tangible way. I just thought that was, like, so cool.
Yeah. Side note, this is why I want to be rich one day so I can do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
I think that's so cool.
I know. Anything else you can think of? I have another one.
Go.
Okay. Our church, Soul City Church, we had a meeting on Monday that I was called in for with the staff. And we just sat and for about an hour in smaller groups, we talked about how are we going to respond here? Like, how are we going to step up? How are we going to live out our mission differently? How are we going to, what problems are our city and church facing? And what I was specifically encouraged by was there were people in the meeting who had thoughts and had sort of soft hearts and felt callings toward a specific group or a specific type of person that I hadn't even thought of yet. And what I was encouraged by was, in this group of people, it was so clear to me that God had given each and every one of us a heart for a different type of person. And so I got this picture of like, God is using us to watch out for each other during this time.
Hands and feet, baby. Hands, you know, and feet.
He's placing a certain person on my heart, a different group of people on your heart. But through all of us, he is not letting anyone go unnoticed or unseen, or hopefully, if we accept that calling, unserved during this time. And I thought that was just like such a cool thing. Yeah. And I love our church and they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Any other fun things?
I just think Rona can go to hell and
amen.
Let's just get through this.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything else to say.
I think the only thing left to say is that these are scary and uncertain times,
mm-hmm.
but God is not surprised by it. God mm-hmm. is bigger than it.
Mm-hmm.
He is working through it. He is doing a new thing through it. And it's not all going to be okay, but God is on the throne. And so in that we can find hope. You know, there are going to be things that aren't okay. People are going to die. People are going to lose their jobs. It's going to be hard. And I'm not discrediting that, but Jesus won the battle long ago
mm.
and our hope is in that, and nothing, a loss of job, a death, a national pandemic can take that away.
Yeah. And you can listen to the Aaron cast where she will be
thank
preaching
you.
Sermons weekly.
I am a pastor. I'm
That's
a preacher.
Good,
Aaron.
That's good. What I love about that is you're not minimizing people's pain.
No,
because
it is going to suck. And like God never said like you're never going to struggle. You're never going to have crap happen to you.
Yeah, and it is possible for both of those things to be real and true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That we are facing difficulty or we are facing hardship. And at the same time, we're clinging to hope and faith, which is a theme for our year, which perhaps we'll talk about in the future, not to give you a little cliffhanger again. But
I know. I hate when people are like, I'm going through something. Or like,
and they're not talking.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk about it.
Yeah. It would just result in a 4-hour podcast right mm-hmm. now, which this isn't the time for it anyway.
Well, I will say, though, if we are quarantining and we are going to do more podcasts, please let us know if there's something you'd like to hear us talk about.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about The Outsider.
Oh,
at some point,
so scary.
I want to talk about Little Fires Everywhere.
Watching it.
Once that's done. And then obviously I want to talk about just like where we're at in our lives as an update. But all right. Got to say something nice to each other.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
Yeah, we do this. This is a tradish.
Oh, I forgot about that.
A real tradish. Do you have one?
You can go first.
I can go first?
Yeah.
Okay, that's assuming I have one. It's so hard to choose with
yes,
all the ones that
yes.
I have.
Yes, nice save there. No, it is like a lot of pressure though, because I forget that this happens every time. And
right.
then I'm like, okay, what is it?
Really nice. So for you, I think I've seen you grow a lot through this difficult year.
You're going to cry?
This crap year. Maybe a little. You always ask. She always asks if I'm going to cry.
Because I see your eyes watering.
Then you should know that, yes, that is a universal sign of getting emotional.
Well, no, because...
And so accept it.
My eyes water when I yawn, and so people always ask me
if
I'm crying.
Yeah, but you're an alien. But what I mean is I've just seen a season and 3 months that could really defeat people or could cause them to run away from something like faith. I've watched you with all, like you were just saying, with all of your pain and with all of your frustration, I've watched you lean into faith. And so when I hear you give an encouragement like you just did, I know it's not just like empty words mm-hmm. of a Sunday pastor who's like, God's on the throne. You know what I mean? I know it's being spoken by someone who is actually walking through exactly that type of thing right now. And I'm really proud of you for that.
Thank you.
As much as that's God's grace in your life, that's also you responding to his grace in a healthy and wise way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My thing has to do a little bit with just what we were talking about with financially. Like, it's a scary time in our family, like just being vulnerable and honest, just because a lot of your speaking gigs are canceled. And, you know, but however, in that same breath, you've set us up in a way and you're on top of our finances in a way that I don't feel scared. Like, I'll get overwhelmed and then I'll be like, you know what? It's fine. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it. And I just feel like, you know, obviously finances are not your favorite thing and you've struggled with them. Like, just like, you know, getting a handle on it and becoming an adult. And what does that look like? And I'm just proud of the work you've done. And I think it's a big testament to know, like, we're going to be fine through this.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah.
All right. I love you.
I love you.
And I love all of you who are listening. We'll see you whenever we see you.
Well, we won't see ya,
but we'll hear ya. You'll hear
us. I don't know.
Goodbye.
Say something nice.